Good afternoon. I said it. I was afraid I'd say good morning. So yay for me. I said it. I'm a little thrown off too because Randy is not up front. But to Randy's benefit, he did text me earlier and said, hey, I've got to leave early. I've got work. And I was like, well, I'm glad you told me because I'd have called you out. If you'd have got up in the middle when I was speaking, I'd have said, Randy, where are you going? So thank you for letting me know, Randy, and I totally understand. But it does throw me off because I'm used to you being up here, so it's fine. So glad that you came out and joined us at a 3 o'clock service. But again, it doesn't matter what time. What is important is that we're here together and that we're here to worship God. So if you were here last week, if you listened online, you heard me mention that I went to Passion last week. And I just kind of want to touch on that again. For those who don't know what Passion is, anybody ever heard of Passion Conference? Okay, there's a few of you. So what it is, it's a Christian conference for kids 18 to 25. I can say they're kids because 18 to 25. But anyway, but that's that's the focus, is 18 to 25. And so they started back in 1995 with one purpose, and that was calling students from campuses all across the nation and the world to come together, but more importantly, to learn to live a life for Jesus. And it's the most amazing thing I've ever been a part of. I was able to go last year, was able to be actually in the Mercedes-Benz. Do you know how big Mercedes-Benz is? Does anybody have any? Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta, Georgia is humongous. Like, it's 70, 80,000 people big. It's huge. And so I was able to be there. I was over like a section. I kind of helped with the kids when they were coming to find their seats. But what encouraged me the most about it was seeing these kids, 18 to 25, come in with their Bibles and their notebooks, hungry for Jesus, hungry for him. And so it just, last year was just an awesome experience for me. I walked away changed and hopeful that the church, the future church, has a future because these kids were on fire. Watching, and I was in the very top section of the Mercedes-Benz, so I was able to see the kids on the floor worshiping. Some of them were laid out. Like, they were so convicted that they were just laid out, and it was just the most awesome experience. So went again this year. This year was a little different for me. They actually put me in the programming catering section, which was kind of cool. I was able to see all the speakers and the singers and stuff come through. That's where they came to get their food and all that kind of stuff. So they had Christina Kane was a speaker. There's a pastor in Texas I like, Earl McLennan, was a speaker. Sadie Robertson Huff was there. She was a speaker. So it was really cool to see these people up front, you know, like up close and personal. Crowder was there. He was like one of their big performers. Passion, of course, it's the Passion Conference, so their worship team was there. So it was really cool, but I was more behind the scenes. So I didn't get to experience it like I did last year, but still felt the Spirit and still knew that there were 25,000 kids out there that wanted to change the world. And so it's just an awesome, awesome thing. With that being said, if anybody knows me, you know my life is not always just great, that there's always hills and valleys and all the things. So while we're there, on Friday morning, I got up to get ready. Caleb was already ready to go. I didn't have to be there till later, but I was still up and getting ready. And I heard a fire truck outside. Now, we're staying in downtown Atlanta. Fire trucks and sirens is nothing unusual. But I looked out the window of I was on the seventh floor of the hotel, and the fire truck and ambulance was at our hotel. Okay. So I didn't really think anything about it. I was like, well, somebody maybe had a medical emergency or something, right? So I'm getting ready, still looking pretty rough. but I was trying to get ready. And then the fire alarms went off. We had to evacuate the hotel. So going down 7 flights of stairs, didn't know what was going on. Scared to, I mean, I just didn't know. We get outside, I'm looking around. There's no smoke or anything like that. So all I know is we're evacuated. Who knows when we're going to get back in. Caleb, of course, he had his badge because we all got a badge to get into the conference. He could go on. Where was my badge at? In the room. So I couldn't go. So I had to just kind of hang out in downtown Atlanta until we figured out what was going on. Within 30 minutes, the news people had it broadcasted that the hotel was evacuated because of carbon monoxide. There was a carbon monoxide leak in the hotel. And so on the 12th floor, and we were on the 7th floor. And so that scared me. Like, I was like, what? So as details were coming out, there was a child, they could not wake up. Four other people in that family all taken to the hospital. And so I'm like shaken, upset. Like, I called Caleb because he had no clue that we were, what was going on at the time. And I was like, this is what's going on. And I'm crying. He was like, I really wish you would have been on the news for that. I was like, thanks, Caleb. Appreciate that. But I was like, what? You know, I was scared. Like, I didn't know what was going on. But then on the flip side of that, I was so thankful. You know, thankful that there was those warning signs, which is kind of what we're going to be talking about today, is warning signs. But thankful that we had that warning, that we were able to get out. It could have been a lot worse. It could have been me. I could have been in the hospital. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is warning signs and how God gives us those warning signs. And what do we do with them? Do we pay attention or do we ignore them? So we're going to talk about where we encounter those warning signs. We have, you know, we look at all kinds of warning signs. We have them on the highway when we're driving. You know, we get health warning signs. If you hear on TV, if there's any kind of medication they're telling you about, there's going to be all these warning signs at the end. You know, if you take it, this could happen. I'm like, well, then why would I want to take it? But anyway, but there's all these health warnings that that they tell us to take care of our bodies. But God also gives us warnings. In his word, he has all these warnings for us, all these dangers ahead, but he also gives us a safe path. And as believers, we must spiritually be aware of those warning signs that he sends us. They're not, they could just be random messages. It might be somebody calling you, you know, but who knows what they are, but God gives us these messages in different ways. He wants us to come back to him. He wants us to change our direction. And he wants us to live according to his will. So like I said, we're going to take a few minutes today just to look at how we respond to these warnings that he gives us. So what, number one, the point, the importance of warning signs. Warning signs are crucial to safety. Imagine you're driving down the highway and there's a sign that warns you of a sharp curve ahead. Now you could go in it like Tokyo Drift. Right? You could go into it sliding, and with the weather that we had as of late, it wouldn't take a whole lot. So if you didn't heed to that warning that there's a sharp curve ahead, then you might be in trouble, right? If we ignore it, you could lose control of your car, possibly in an accident. Same thing with our spiritual journey. God provides warning signs to guide us and protect us from harm. In Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." So let's look at this a little bit. So trust in the Lord. You see, if we trust in something, we're placing our security, we're placing everything in their hands, right? Like, for example, I totally trust Randy, my Randy. Not that I don't trust you, Randy, but my Randy. I totally trust my husband. Let me put it that way. I totally and completely have confidence in his integrity, his ability, his good character, although sometimes I wonder, no, I'm just picking. But I know him, and I have a relationship with him. We've been together for a long time, so I trust him, and I know that he'll do what's best for me. However, do we have that same relationship with God? Do you have the same relationship with God that you do your spouse? Do you trust them? Do you trust God? Are you willing to just give it all to him and just be in complete confidence that he'll take care of it? For me, I have to admit, sometimes it's hard for me to trust God. And that shouldn't be that way, right? We shouldn't feel that way, but sometimes it's hard. But God is perfectly trustworthy and faithful. And we have to remember that. He is trustworthy and faithful. And we have to trust him. We need to trust him more than we trust any person on earth. But again, we see the person. Like, I see Randy, so it's easier sometimes to trust what you can see, right? So we trust him with all of our heart, placing our heart in the Lord's feet. We got to surrender, leaving no room for anxiety or worry, completely entrust our being to God. And that's so hard sometimes. And I've talked about this before. Got to lay it all at his feet and let him have it. But I will go back and pick it up. And I'm still working on that. I'm trying to get better, but I'm still working on that. And it's hard to do that. So the next part of the verse is necessary for trusting, that we have to lean on God. You see, we have to lean not on our own understanding. We have to lean completely into God. We can't rely on ourselves. We have to let go of what we think we know and let God take helm of that. Let him have it and lean into him. And that's hard sometimes too. It's hard to just put all the trust and then lean totally on God. But man, our lives would be so much easier if we would. The next part of the verse is, in all your ways acknowledge him. Not some ways, not some days, but always. This means to admit the existence, the reality, and the trustworthiness of God. To acknowledge him as Lord over our life. And to give him full access to sit on the thrones of our heart. There and only there can we begin to govern. He can begin to govern our walk, is if we will acknowledge him in all ways. The next part of the verse says, he will direct our paths. He'll begin to establish our steps and lead us where he wants us to go. But again, we have to let him. We got to trust him. We got to lean on him. We got to let him direct our paths. With all that being said, you know, it's more than just saying the verses. It's more than, you know, we can say it all day, but we have to put it into action. We have to actually do what it says. We have to trust him. It begins with trust and ends with him. We have to trust him, period. God's warnings are not meant to stifle us, but to lead us into a path of life. When we trust him and we follow his guidance, we are less likely to make the dangerous turns that will lead us to spiritual destruction. Just as we rely on those road signs for physical safety, we have to rely on God's signs to navigate our spiritual journey. Because if we don't, we're going to Tokyo drift into the ditch, flips upside down a couple of times, and mess everything up. Speaking from experience, but we have to trust. We have to lean on him. We have to let him lead us. So point number two, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? You know, consider the warnings Jesus gave in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 7, 13 through 14, it says, he says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Here Jesus gives us a clear warning about the choices that we make in life. The broad road leads to a life lived according to our own desires, often leading us to sin and destruction. I think of the broad way of living as the way the world lives. The broad road seems inviting because it's easy. Everybody's doing it, right? There's always a certain dramatic quality about life, for it's been said all life concentrates on being at the crossroads. In every action of life, we're confronted with a choice, and we can never evade the choice because we can never be still. As the end draws near, Moses spoke to the people. He said, see, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live. And then Joshua says, he was laying down the leadership of the land at the end of his life. He presented them with the same choice. Choose this day whom you will serve. And then Jeremiah said, he heard the voice of God say to him, and to these people who will say, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. All these examples tell us that we have to choose the way that we're going to live. As Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, 13, it says, we must enter the narrow gate, the narrow road. The more challenging and popular is the one that leads to eternal life. You know, if you're a Christian, you know that it's not popular to be a Christian. Unfortunately, in this world that we live in, that broad path is the popular way to go. But we have to enter through the narrow gate. We're called to proceed with caution. when it comes to the choices we make. The world will often offer us shortcuts, easy solutions, and ways that seem like the right way. But Jesus, he refers to them as the wide gate and the broad. But true peace, true life, is the narrow path of obedience to Christ. It's so easy to get caught up in the noise of the crowd. It's so easy to just want to go with the flow. But we're warned to stay focused and choose the way that leads to eternal life. There's warning signs that we can't afford to ignore. Many are drawn to that broad road because it does seem easier. But we must remember that the path of least resistance is often the one that leads us furthest from God. God lovingly warns us, but the decision is ours. Will we heed his signs and follow him, or will we be swept away with the crowd? It's hard. Being a Christian is hard. If somebody's told you it's easy, no, it's not. So you've got to choose that narrow gate. You've got to choose that narrow road. The world makes everything look great. And you know what? While you're here, it might be great. But where are they going to end up? Where are you going to end up if you follow that broad path? So number three, the dangers of ignoring warning signs. In Luke 21, 34 through 36, Jesus gives us a warning about the danger of ignoring his signs. He says, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. But always on the watch and pray that you may not be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. So Jesus warns us here about the dangers of being too caught up in the pleasures of life, the anxieties of the world. And if we're not vigilant, the day of his return will catch us unprepared. We must not ignore the signs of the times or the conditions of our heart. If we do, we risk missing out on God's plan for our lives and the eternal life he offers. Christ urges us to remain on guard, to keep alert at all times, and to pray. Trials and temptations will come. The earliest disciples did not avoid hardships by becoming Christians. In fact, the life of faith brought extra problems. They prayed not for the problems to go away, but for the strength to remain faithful to Christ in the midst of crisis. And I think that's something we need to remember, that just because we're Christian doesn't mean we're going to be exempt from all these things. We're just not. We have to remember, though, to pray. Pray during those crises. Be even closer to him. That's why it's so important to heed to those warnings, to be aware of those warnings. Hard times and trials will come. We'll face them in our daily lives. And in the Lord's Prayer, we say, give us this day our daily bread. That same one day at a time urgency applies also when we pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We will face temptation and evil every day. But let's face it by focusing on God, by praying to God. God will give us the strength to persevere in trials that we face. As we develop faithfulness and perseverance, we will be prepared if we focus on him, if we pray, and we'll be ready for those hard times. Will the hard times be hard? Of course they will. But if we pray and we stay close to God and heed those warnings, we'll be able to get through. But if we ignore God's voice over and over, we'll begin to harden ourselves to that conviction. When God speaks to us, whether it's through worship, prayer, or other ways, we must not ignore it. If we ignore it, we will drift away from God. So let us be responsive and heed to those warning signs. So number four, how do we respond to God's warning? So how do we respond when we see those? There's lots of them in the Bible. So how do we respond? Do we just say, okay, that's for somebody else. That doesn't deal with me. We got to listen for them. We've got to pay attention to them. He warns us all throughout Scripture, through the Holy Spirit and through other believers in our community. Are we listening? I can't tell you how many times that somebody has said something to me. It's like, oh, I need to really pay attention to that. So we gotta really be in tune, and we've got to really understand that God not only speaks through his word, He speaks through the Holy Spirit, and he speaks through other Christians around us. It's so important that we surround ourselves with good community, good people, good Christians, because God will use them to speak life to us, to speak those warnings to us. God wants us to carefully pay attention so that we can fully obey. Listening is similar to obedience in Jeremiah 22. It says, I warned you when you felt secure, but you said, I will not listen. This has been your way from your youth. You have not obeyed me. May we not be that way. I don't want to be like that in Jeremiah 22. He warned, but I will not listen. How many times have we said that to God? I will not listen. We should not respond to his warnings that way. Whenever we hear a warning, when we have a warning, we read a warning, we have somebody else, that whatever it may be, however you get that warning from God, we must repent. We must see a warning sign as an opportunity to turn from our sinful ways and return to God. Repentance is not feeling sorry for what we've done, but it's a decision to turn away from what is harmful and embrace in God's grace. And then we got to pray. We talked about prayer a few minutes ago. We got to pray. Just slow down when you see that road sign or that warning sign ahead. Slow down and pray. Reflect and ensure we are walking in God's will. We need to make sure that whatever we're doing, whatever we're going through it with prayer. It's so important to talk with God. And then another thing is trust. You know, sometimes God's warnings challenge our desires and comfort zones. But in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, he reminds us, like we read earlier, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We got to trust him. We're called to trust in his plan, lean not in our own understanding. God's warnings are not restrictive. They are loving invitations to find true life in him. He's not telling us not to do something because he's being mean. He's trying to protect us. Sometimes we feel like he doesn't want us to do that. God don't want me to do that. He knows what's best for us. He knows how it ends. So we need to listen. We need to pay attention to those warnings. And the story that came to my mind as I was preparing for this about warning signs was the story of Noah in Genesis 6. You know, God saw the world had become wicked, that humanity had turned away from him. He warned Noah, a righteous man, of the coming flood. They would destroy everything. He instructed Noah to build an ark to save himself and his family and the animals. For many years, Noah worked on building that ark. And you know, people probably thought he was crazy, right? What are you doing? It's going to rain? What are you doing? But Noah did it. He built the ark. He was trying to warn people of what was happening. Of course, they ignored it. They probably mocked him and just continued living their sinful ways. They failed to listen to the message and repent. When the ark was complete, the animals were brought on board. God shut the door, and the floodwaters came, destroying everything except Noah, his family, and the animals on board. This story serves as a powerful warning to listen to God's voice and to be obedient to his instructions. Even if the world around you seems to ignore or mock them, it emphasizes the importance of faith, preparation, trusting God's plan, as well as the consequences of ignoring God's warnings. This story is often interpreted as a reminder that God offers warnings out of love and mercy, but there are many times that those warnings are not heeded, and then the consequences will follow. It teaches that God's judgment is both just and fair, and he desires that all come to repentance. So just think about Noah. What if Noah had said, I'm not doing that. Forget it. There would be no people. Everything would be gone. But what did he do? He trusted. He trusted in the Lord. He leaned in his own, you know, God's understanding. He leaned on him. He did exactly what he was told. So what if we did that? What if we would just listen? What if we would do what God's asking us to do? But of course, we're human, and we don't always. But man, wouldn't the world be a different place if all of us would just obey to his warnings, like listen to them and trust him? It'd be so much better. Our life would be so much better. Our anxiety levels would be so much better. Our worry would be so much. Anyway, I'm talking to myself. But then I've been watching this week, too, with the fires in L.A. and just how terrible and tragic that is. But those people had warnings, and a lot of those people got out. God does the same for us. If you ever questioned, if you ever wondered, the warnings are here. They're right here in the Word. But you got to read the Word. You got to listen. You got to be open. You got to trust Him. But he gives us warnings, just like those people in LA got their warnings, just like I got the warning at the hotel. I listened to that. When I heard the fire alarm went out, I got in the staircase, down the stairs as fast as possible. But why don't I do that with His Word? It's right here, people. Black and white. It's right, and some red. My Bible does not have red. But He tells us right here. He gives us all these warnings. And we don't listen. We don't listen. And again, I'm preaching to myself. Because we are human, and I get that. But man, our time is short. And I feel it even more so now than I have. Our time is short. And we need to heed the warnings that are here. We need to learn to fully trust. We need to learn to lean on God. We need to go through the narrow. The broad is ugly, and it's going to lead you to hell. So you've got to go that narrow path to eternal life with Jesus. And we've got to start reading and heeding to what He's telling us here. Because what's the sin here is a sin everywhere. Doesn't matter what the world says, right? But if it's a sin here, if it's a warning here, then we've got to listen. Because our time is short. Our time is short. So as we continue our lives, let us be aware of those warning signs God places in our lives. The signs of acts of mercy, urging us to draw nearer to Him and walk the narrow path that leads to eternal life. Whether it's through Scripture, the Holy Spirit, or with somebody else in your community of believers, God speaks to us, guiding us away from danger and into His loving, protective arms. Let us heed those warning signs. Let us be vigilant, trusting in God's guidance, and follow the path He has set before us. May we walk in the light of His love and grace, ever watchful, ever ready, and always responsive to His call. Because when He comes to get us believers, I want all of you to be there. I want all of you to be there. Are you going to be ready? Are you heeding His warnings that He's giving to us? If you'll stand with me and let's pray.